In the hymn book.
Use him to speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Announcements. Things are going pretty good here at the church right now, and so don't have too many announcements right now. We're doing well, but that row there where me and June are sitting, we need to keep that available for young children just in case they need to be taken into the nursery. So that's good that we're listening to that. So that's good. I'm just going to prepare you for what's going to happen in the morning service. We need to have a brief business meeting during the morning service. It won't take very long. And so Jim Bush will be coming up during announcement time, and it won't take very long. So be prepared for that. We have a monetary issue that we have to deal with, and our Constitution says that any expense that the church has to make that's more than $300, we bring that before you. So that's what we're going to be going to do. I think that's all the announcements that I have right now. So let's go back to singing. All right, 7:58. for the summer, and we'll sing happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
She came here just so we could all sing happy birthday.
Of course she did. All right, very good. We do have some children here today. Dismissed now to go to their class. As they do so, John 20, verse 31. We're going to keep learning that verse for this week, and next Sunday we'll be starting a new one. Alright? John chapter 20, verse 31. I think they're a little more excited than usual because I think they just got out of school, two of the three. So, John chapter 20, verse 31. All right, we have time for two or three. If you'd like to, we'll say the verse. Anyone like to? Draw, go right ahead.
Okay, John 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Amen. Very good. Anyone else? Mark, go ahead.
John 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
All right. Good. Anyone else? All right, let's say it together then. John 20:31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. All right, John 20:31. Good, you're right. Next week, if you want to start preparing, you can do so. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 10, that starts talking about the armor of God. And so we're going to be starting, we'll learn a couple verses at a time, and we're not going to try to get everybody to say all the verses all at once, but I do want to go through all those verses down through verse 18, because all that is important and it's all connected. So starting next week, we'll be learning that. All right. Chapter 6, verse 10, starting there. All right, very good.
All right, you have a Bible. Good morning, by the way. Good morning. If you have a Bible, turn please to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Yeah, hold on a minute. Okay, we're not on yet. I'm on. I got the green light. All right, hey, there we go. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I got the green light, which means go, right? Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. It's going to be a warm day, amen. But thank God for air conditioning, amen. We don't suffer like they used to suffer, right? We've heard about it, right? Benches with no cushions and, you know, fans, that's all you had. And so we thank the Lord for what we do have. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, in a moment, we're going to go there. I'm just going to take just a moment to reiterate some of the things we've already talked about and to bring us to where we are this morning. I like to do that in Sunday school. I like to try to reiterate. And by the way, repetition is the key to learning. That's for sure. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes a while for it to click in for me. Amen. And so we have been talking in Sunday school for quite a few weeks now on the thought of one another. And it's very important that we focus on one another. And we talked about the fact that in the local church, it's not about one person. It's about one another. Amen. Everybody is important in the church. Amen. Everybody's important in the family of the Lord. Amen. Every part of Every member of my body is important. I mean, I'm not looking to get rid of a finger anytime soon. Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, to me, it's important. It might not seem important. It's important. And so we need to treat every member important. And we're looking at the thought of one another, which runs especially in the Gospels and in the New Testament, where the focus is the local church. One another, there's a lot of one another's in the Bible. And I've kind of categorized them under two categories. And the first thing that we've talked about, and I'm actually pretty much done with this, and we're going to start a new one this morning. We've talked about the fact, one of the overarching and the main thing that we need to do in reference to one another is love one another. Out of all the different verses that talk about one another, the majority of them emphasize love one another. Amen. In fact, remember I tried to teach that song in 1 John 4, chapter 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. How many people remember that one? All right, good. And that's the emphasis. So the overarching thought is, first and foremost, we need to learn to love one another. And in reference to loving one another, it deals with the fact that we need to receive one another. We need to prefer one another. We need to forbear one another. That's putting up with one another, right? And then we also need to forgive one another. And these, I think, fall under the category of loving one another. You know, when you love others, you can receive them easier. When you love others, you can prefer them easier. When you love others, you can put up with them easier. That's for sure, right? And then when you love one another, you can forgive one another. And then last week we focused on the word forgive, and we did like an acrostic on biblical forgiveness, and I won't get into that this morning. So I said to you, and we're at Galatians chapter 5, I said to you, when I looked at all the one another's in the Gospels and in the New Testament that referred to the local church, I categorized, I said, you know, all of these could go under love one another. And that was the first and foremost major emphasis. Most of the others, if not all of the others, fall under another category. You know, it's almost like the Word of God says that the all the law and the prophets fall under two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the first commandment, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And it's amazing how so many things that were told in the Bible, and they all could either fall under we need to love God or we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Here's the second thing about one another that we need to do. Love one another first and foremost. Secondarily, serve one another. Serve one another. The rest of the one another's that we'll look at throughout the New Testament, if you will, are going to fall under the category of serving one another. Love one another first and foremost, and then serve one another. Now look at Galatians chapter 5, if you would, please. And this is where we're going to pick up this morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. It's good to be able to get around the book. Amen. And thank God for it. Amen. You know, there are not a lot of churches that are preaching anymore and teaching the Bible the way it should be. Amen. Most, sad to say, many, many churches are more into the entertainment than they are the edification. And here, by the way, here's the reason I believe it is. Because the majority of the people want the entertainment rather than the edification of the scriptures. Isn't it a truth? And I believe that many churches just simply want to give people what they want so that they can get the people. Amen. And that's where you're at today. If this is what people want, well, let's give them what they want. Cut down on the Bible. Let's get more singing in there. Let's get more drama in there. Let's get more this, that, and the other thing. And then at the end, we'll kind of throw in a little, you know, just a little thought, if you will. And that's where we're at today in Christianity. Most Christians don't want to hear the word. Amen. In fact, we've been told in the scriptures that this is the type of day that we would be living in. In the last days, men are not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves teachers. And what it says is they're having itching ears. When you have an itchy ear, basically what it is when I got a, matter of fact, when I'm in the car and my wife will put her hand on my back sometimes, one of the first things I do is say, oh, scratch my back. Anybody else guilty of that? Amen. Scratch my back. And she said, how come every time because when you touch me, it reminds me there's a spot I can never reach. thank God nobody sees me, but at home there are times when I'm in a situation and the corner of the doorpost is, can, is anybody else there? Corner of the doorpost, and oh, I'll when I have an itch, what I need is I need it to be scratched so that I can feel good. And what you have nowadays is people have itchy ears. They don't want to hear the word of God. That don't necessarily make you feel good all the time. They want somebody who's willing to say, you know, God has not called me to condemn you. God has not called me to be judgmental. No, I'm not a negative speaker. I just believe everything ought to be positive. Now, if you have your Bible, that's how you fill stadiums. Everything's positive. You're okay. I'm okay. And that's it. That's how you get famous athletes and big stars sitting in the front pews. That I doubt if I walked in there that I'd get next to him. You know they're probably reserved. But this is where we are. I was mentioning when I preached at this other church a couple weeks ago that if everybody has a battery, everybody got here in a vehicle has a battery. In fact, a lot of cars now are starting to come out with more batteries than gasoline, right? But every battery has a negative and a positive. And you have to have both in order to jumpstart a car. And by the way, I believe that we need both to jumpstart Christianity in our own lives sometimes. We go to church. Don't always be too negative only, and don't only be too positive. We need a balance. Amen. And that's what I believe we need, because that's how we get kind of jump-started, if you will. Amen. But you go to a church and it's all one-sided positive, you're going to have that place probably filled out. You're going to have a big bank account. You'll be able to write a book and put your best foot forward now or something like that. But you're not running anybody off. But the only thing is, when they interview you privately and they ask you what you privately believe and you tell them privately, this is what I believe, they wonder, why don't you say that in church? And that's when they say, well, God had not called me. And I don't have the teeth for this. And I don't have the hair for this. Can I get a witness for that? I'll tell you, some beautiful hair. Beautiful hair. God has not called me to do that. It's just all positive. Amen? We started a church in Philadelphia. And we're getting off the message, but that's okay as long as we're on the message, right? We started a church in Philadelphia, and, you know, if you're going to just pretty much make the emphasis the Word of God. Now, thank God for singing. Amen. And somebody said this, the Bible's king in the church and singing is queen. And I believe they're the two main things that are necessary. Amen. No doubt about it. But we had a little church going on there, and I've had people visit. You know, they were one guy, he was from Florida. I think he went to MacArthur's church. You know, I don't know if that's Florida or California. California, yeah. Guy was a military guy. And he came to our church because, you know, I was guessing in our community, it was a very small community. It was pretty much Catholic. And we were like the, I guess, although Baptists are not Protestants by no means, he kind of saw the building when he was doing his little walk in the neighborhood and decided to come to church. He came to church. We were actually meeting it was a summertime, and we were meeting in the basement area because it was cheaper to cool it, because we didn't have, you know, a whole lot of people and a whole lot of money to be, you know, paying electric bills. And this guy came in and he sat down there and I just preached the word. And afterwards, you know, he did say, in fact, he gave us a love gift. And he said, you know, he said, that was a great message. You know what I mean? This, that, and the other thing. And he said, no, it's a shame that you're stuck down in the basement. There's people that need to hear this. He said, and you're stuck down in the basement. And that kind of hit me, you know. And it's amazing, because the fact is, if you're teaching and preaching the truth, people ain't necessarily, you know, making a pathway to the door. Amen? And you know that to be true, isn't it? But we need to hear the truth, and thank God for it. Do I always want to hear the truth? Absolutely not. It goes against my flesh. You think I always want to? You always, when I'm reading and studying the Bible, there are things I'd like to skip over. But that's not the way it is. If I'm not hearing the Lord, by the way, Paul was told to Timothy, listen, when you preach the word, he said, listen, exhort, rebuke, you teach. It's all in there. Amen. And so that's what, thank God for the opportunity we have to hear it this morning. There are people, religious people all over. They're going to go to church, do the religious duty. They'll go in, they'll hear, you know, now I lay me down to sleep or whatever it is that they do right before service. And then they'll leave. And you know what'll happen? Nothing. Nothing. And that's the sad thing. When we go to church and we hear the word of God and we hear a mixture of truth, we you know, we ought to leave sometimes just encouraged, strengthened, whatever. There are times also we ought to leave challenged. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen. If nothing happens on the inside, when we leave, nothing's going to happen on the outside. Nothing's coming out. Amen. Anyway, so we need to love one another. We talked all about that. But here's the thing is, we need to serve one another. Serve one another. And we are living in a self-serving time period. It's all about ourselves. Amen. And by the way, in Christianity, this can't be. By the way, we wouldn't be Christians if Christ was self-serving. He gave his life for us. Amen. In fact, I think it's in 1 John. It says that he laid down his life for us. And it says this, therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hey, listen, selfishness is at the heart of carnality or the heart of the world, if you will. And that's the truth, right? It's always about me, how I can climb to the top, and I don't care who I climb over to get there. That's the way of the world. But that should not be the way of God's people in the church. Amen? It shouldn't be, I'll do what I have to do to get over you and to get where I want to go. No, it should be, may God help me so that I can be a help to you. Amen? Galatians chapter 5. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 13. I knew the sports coat was coming off sooner today. Because it's getting hotter. Thanks, Mom. Galatians 5. Look at verse number 13, I believe it is. Galatians 5:13. Notice what it says. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. And by the way, thank God for the liberty we have in Christ. Amen. And by the way, book of Galatians is the declaration of independence for the believer. Now, what that means is this. There were Judaizers. There were those who were coming to the Gentiles and saying, no, you can't just simply trust Christ and be saved. You got to be circumcised. You got to keep the law. And this book is the declaration of independence. No, trusting Christ and Christ alone is the way to be saved. You have liberty. You are free from the ceremonial law. By the way, we're not free from the moral law of God. Can I get a witness on that one? We're free from the ceremonial law. We don't have to go keeping the sacrifices and days and feasts and so on. Amen. And so these Jews were trying to come into the Gentiles and bring them back into bondage, if you will, to the law. And he says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Thank God we've been set free. Here's what he says. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. See, there are those that like to turn liberty into license. Well, if I'm free in Christ, if I have liberty in Christ, then that means I can do what I want. Never do we have liberty to do what we want. Somebody said it this way. We have the liberty and the freedom to do what God wants us to do. Amen. And we thank God for that. But here's what he says, and I want you to get this, because this is the key, what we're going to focus on. But by love, what's it say? Serve one another. By love, serve one another. This is one of the reasons we focus primarily on the last few weeks on the fact we need to love one another, love one another, love one another. Why? Because by the love we have for one another, we need to serve one another. Serve one another. That's what it ought to be about. I hate family gatherings where everybody, well, certain people sit down and think that they ought to be served by everybody. Anybody got those members in the family? Yeah. I saw a thing on Twitter. It had a guy at a barbecue, sitting in a picnic chair, and he's got three plates full. And the caption said, the guy that came to the barbecue didn't bring anything. There are some people, by the way, nowadays, oh, there's an ethics with young people, or should I say a lack of it. Right. Big family gathering, big family meal. Two or three people are the ones cleaning up, cleaning the dishes, and young ladies. Yeah. sitting around. I don't think their nails can handle the dishwasher, whatever it is. Can I get a witness on that? That bothers me. That bothers me. I mean, come on, you come in, you're served, and then you don't want to serve and help at all. Amen. We need to serve one another, love one another, serve one another. By the way, why would somebody want to help serve? Because why leave the two people do everything? You could actually serve and help them as well. Amen. By love, we need to serve one another. So we need to serve one another. This is the major emphasis. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4, please? 1 Peter chapter number 4. We need to love one another, but we need to serve one another. We need to serve one another. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, and look at verse number 10. The Bible says this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so, minister the same, what's this, one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, let me just say this. When you think of the scriptures and you think of this, as every man that hath received the gift. Now, the gift. There's two things that refer to the gift when you study the scriptures. Romans 6:29, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That verse says the gift is salvation. In fact, another verse says it this way, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. And so every man that hath received the gift, let him minister. Even so, let him minister the same one to another. But then there's also another phrase in the Bible where the gift is used. And it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about something that come, or should I say someone that comes at the moment of salvation. And that would be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Look, matter of fact, look with me if you would, the book of Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38. And also, while we're in the book of Acts, would you go over to chapter 10, verse 45 for a moment as well? That way we'll get ourselves situated there. Acts 10, 45 as well as Acts 2, 38. So he says, as many as you as have received the gift, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Look at Acts 2, look at verse number 38. The Bible says this, Acts 2, 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And he's speaking to the Jewish people, if you will, at this time. He said, be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, or because of the remission of sins, and you shall receive, what's it say? The gift of the Holy Ghost. That was when he was speaking to the Jews at that time particularly. Now go to Acts chapter number 10. And by the way, when the Jews believed, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit fell on them. The gift of God is a reference to salvation. The gift of God is a reference to the Holy Spirit, by the way, and they're both in one. The day you get the gift of God in salvation, you get the gift of God, you get the Holy Spirit. Amen. The day you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think the day you surrender is the day the Holy Spirit gets you. Think about that. The day that I get saved, I get him. The day I surrender, he gets me. Amen. By the way, and that's the difference, isn't it? There's a lot of people, thank God, that are saved and have the Holy Spirit. But why do they live the way they live? Because the Holy Spirit don't have them. He's present, but he's not president. Amen. I want you to look with me and look at chapter. We look at chapter 10 yet. Look at chapter 10, Acts 10. Look at verse number 45, please. Acts chapter 10, verse number 45. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. I'm in the wrong verse. Back up. Verse number 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Now what we have here, let me give you the understanding. Paul was sent to preach the word to Cornelius and his family. Now, this was a unique situation. God had worked in Peter's heart because Peter was very prejudiced and would not go into the Gentiles. And God had to convince him, I'm sending you to them. You don't call them common or unclean. I'm sending you to them. And so Peter was in a trance. The Lord was speaking to him. Cornelius was praying and God spoke to him and said, listen, you know, you're going to have an encounter with an individual named Peter and so on. And he told him what was going on. And Peter went there to the Gentiles and Peter had the keys, if you will. And he's the one that opened up the doors, not only to the Jews in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost and after, but he opened up the door to the Gentiles as well. And this is the first family right here. And so it says, and they of the circumcision, there were Jews that went with Peter to see this situation where Cornelius, and they that believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God came not only upon the Jews that believed, but the Holy Spirit of God came upon the Gentiles that believed. The gift of the Spirit. And so, turn back, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter number 4. The very verse that we started from in reference to the gift that we've received from the Lord. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And let's look again, if you would, please, in verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. Now, let's read it in this way. As every man hath received the gift, as everyone that has been saved and has been given what? The Holy Spirit. If I'm saved and if I have the Holy Spirit, can I tell you what that means? I can minister unto others. Why? Because I'm a child of God and I have the Spirit of God. You see, through the Holy Spirit of God, I can be a better servant and a better minister to one another. Amen? We can be. He says in verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now I want you to turn somewhere else. I want you to turn to John for a moment, chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. We need to serve one another. And we have to watch this attitude of pride. Don't ever think that you're such that you ought to be the one served more than the one serving. Can I get a witness on that one? There are some churches, they got that difference between the leadership and the laity, if you will. These are the people that are served and these people are the ones that serve. Amen. No, serving one another means there are times I need you to help me. And then there are times you need me to help you. It's a mutual humility. Amen. It's not this guy's always on and we always need him. There are times we need each other. Amen. All the time. In fact, amen. John chapter number 13, the Lord Jesus, he did something unique. And what we find, let's begin in verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Lord had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. What he's actually doing, he's preparing to serve. Now watch, look at verse number 5. After that, he poured water into a basin. By the way, when a person during this day and time period, when a person came into your home, you were the one to put out the basin of water and wash their feet and welcome them into your home. Look at verse number 5. And after he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. You've heard the term feet washing? It's not an ordinance for the church to do along with baptism and the Lord's table, like some take it. Okay? Washing other people's feet is a sign of servanthood. But what does it take to be that kind of servant? It takes humility. Can I get a witness on that one? It takes humility to wash somebody else's feet. In fact, let me just throw this out there. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 10, one of the qualifications for a widow to be supported by the church, she had to have been a person who washed the saints' feet. Idiomatic, that's a big word. Don't ask me what it means. I heard it before. Of being a servant. I'm not too much that I can't bend down and bow down and wash your feet. You understand? In the church, pride's got to go out the window. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, amen? And we need to serve and help one another, and we never ought to have an attitude. You know, by the way, Jesus didn't even have that attitude. In Mark 10:45, it says the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. Let's pick up in verse number 6, if you would, please. And then it says here, actually, verse number 5, as we continue, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You know what Peter was? He was surprised. See, I think Peter had a little pride in him. And I thought Peter thought, hold on a minute. We're somebody, our group. And you're the biggest somebody because you're the leader of our group. And if you're going to do this, oh my, what does that imply for me? Look at verse number 7. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Listen, Peter could not understand, what in the world is the Lord doing here? What is he doing bending down and doing this to us? What is he doing? He said, listen, while I'm doing it, you'll not even understand why I'm doing it. When I'm done, you're going to understand what I did. By the way, that's a great principle right there. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Let me say this. There are many times we go through things and we just don't understand what God's doing. What in the world's going on here? Then after the situation is over, we look back and we say, now I see what God was doing. If I was Joseph, thrown in a pit, you know, sold as a slave, put in Potiphar's house, thrown into prison, I would be saying, hold on a minute. Didn't I have a dream that I was actually going to go up? What I do, you know not now. But all of a sudden, becomes the prime minister. Looking back, by the way, that's why at the end of at the end in the book of Genesis, he can look and say to his brothers, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. One preacher said there's two terms in the book of Genesis, what Joseph said. He said to his brothers, you sold me, but God sent me. Amen. And there are times we have no idea what God is doing. And don't try to figure it out why he's doing it. My father-in-law often would give an illustration about this. And he said that when he was a little boy, he would sit at his mom's feet and his mom would sit there and be crocheting. And I don't know much about crocheting or whatever it is, but I guess there were times they would crochet pictures or whatever. I don't know what it was, where he would look up. He said he would look up and on the bottom of the thing, all he would see is a bunch of string hanging. And from his point of view, it was like, what is she doing? And then turning that thing around, you see something beautiful. And there are times we look and like, Lord, what's going on? And when you can't trace his hand, somebody said, trust his heart. Amen. We're looking at John 13. Look at verse number 8. Thank you, brother. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Wow. Wow, what do you mean thou shalt never wash my feet? I don't want you to humble yourself and do this for me. Maybe Peter felt like, hold on a minute. You know, if you're going to do this, then I'm going to probably have to do this too. But nonetheless, Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said unto him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now that has nothing to do with salvation. Because Peter was already saved. He already acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ and Father had already opened his eyes to this truth. Hast no part with me. Listen, I can't use you. If you don't allow me to serve you, if you can't be humble enough to be served, and by the way, there's another thought. You know, it takes one thing to humbly serve somebody, and it takes another thing to sit back and be humbly served. Can I get a witness on that one? There are people say, I don't need anybody. I don't need you. I don't need this. I don't need that. God knows how to put us all in a place where we realize, brother, You need others. Because you ain't it. You need others. We all need each other. Never be so prideful you can't serve others. And never be so prideful that you can't let others serve you when need be. Amen? Every once in a while. Now, I saw something strange. And you probably, brother, on the road driving the truck, you see strange things. I saw something strange one time. I saw a tow truck, a flatbed tow truck, towing a tow truck. And you know what happened? I said to myself, well, even every once in a while, even the tow truck needs a tow truck. Can I get a witness on that one? Usually the tow truck's that pride thing and it'll whip up there at the accident that he calls three of them on his way. And he whips up there, here, I'm here to serve, I'm here to help you, I'm here to make your money. Real quick, too. But every once in a while, you see that humble tow truck needing help, amen? And that's the way we all are. We all need help, and amen? There ain't no doubt about that, right? I want you to look with me, and let's see, verse number... Thank you, brother. I'm glad people are keeping track where I'm going. They're probably like, if we don't, he'll never get done. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only. Okay, if it's going to cause me not to have a part with you, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Okay, let's go all the way here. And then he, by the way, Peter's always an extremist. No, I don't want you to touch me. Okay, yeah, everything. Talk about fickle, right? Oh, boy. Jesus said, verse number 10, and I know where we left off. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save his feet. Listen, in other words, you're saved. You don't need to get cleansed completely again. You just need to get your feet clean now and then. Amen? He goes on to say, but you're clean every whit, and you're not all are clean but one. And he knew, he was talking about Judas. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Verse number 12. So after he had finished their feet, or washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, now, or say, know ye what I have done to you? Now he's going to explain why he did what he did. He said, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. In other words, I am the Lord and I am the master. In fact, you think about it, in our understanding, he's the one that should have been served. Think about it. He's the one that should have been served. Verse number 14. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you ought also to what? Wash one another's feet. If God would humble himself to do for us, we certainly ought to be able to humble ourselves to do for others. The servant is not above his Lord. Amen? In fact, it's amazing because this, in my mind, I just went back to Matthew 18. If God forgives others the way he does, we should. And if God serves others the way he does, we should. Verse number 15, he said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Amen? Serving one another. Jesus loved the disciples. And he served the disciples, setting the example for them to love and serve one another. You know, there were several times the Lord spoke to the disciples and he said, listen, don't try to be like the world where, you know, the big man is the one that rules and reigns and runs everything. He said, it shall not be among my people, among you. You are brethren. Amen. There's not one Lord over us. Amen. We love and serve each other. Now, I want you to get this thought. Turn back, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. We need to, actually, we're not going to stay too much on this. We need to love one another. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a preview of next week's show. It's not a show, but you understand. By the way, you know this is what happens. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick up on this. But we talked about the fact we need to love one another. Where we got that? We need to serve one another. We need to be humble enough to serve one another, humble enough to let each other serve us. Next week, the Lord willing, we come together. Next week's Father's Day as well, I believe, right? Next week's Father's Day. So in Sunday school, we're going to pick up, at least start with this thought, and that's Galatians 6:2, and I'll just give you a preview of it. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love. Next week, we'll start with this. Serving one another means helping one another. Amen. Helping each other bear the burdens. And by the way, we're all going through something. Amen. And if you're not, hold on. Amen. We will be. Let's pray and we'll take a break and we'll be able to start at quarter of on time. Father, thank you for the word this morning. I pray that you'll bless our time of fellowship. And I pray you'll bless the upcoming service in Jesus' name. Amen.